Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to our North Florida neighborhood.
And welcome to North Florida Neighborhood. I'm Colby, and North Florida Neighborhood is where we can just sit, chat with our neighbors, and get to know them. And in a time where we're busy and too caught up to really talk to people, the show gives us that opportunity. And these neighbors that we're chatting with are just really great people in our community. And today, the neighbor that we get to know more is Shannon Nasworth. And Shannon is the CEO and president of Ability Housing. Shannon, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Really looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah, Shannon, so now tell me, who is Ability Housing?
Sure. We're a Jacksonville nonprofit. We started here in the early 90s as a group home serving six young women with developmental disabilities and quickly became the largest service provider in Northeast Florida for adults with disabilities. And we were realizing that one of the biggest challenges those we were serving had was finding an affordable place to live. Mm. When you have a disability and rely on disability income, rents just are not going to be affordable. So we started a small housing program, and in the early 2000s, I guess mid-2000s, about 2005, we made the decision to separate the services organization and really turn Ability Housing into an organization focused solely on the development of affordable housing. And so now we're an industry leader. We're recognized across the state and the country as one of the best nonprofit affordable housing developers. And we serve Jacksonville and Northeast Florida. And then about 5 years ago, we were asked by Central Florida to expand and serve there. And now we're being courted by counties all over Florida because of the need for affordable housing and because of the outcomes that we have. One of the things we do is focus on making sure we remain focused on persons with disabilities, and we've also been working with local homeless continuum of care to make sure we're providing housing for people exiting homelessness.
Okay, so you guys
do a lot.
Yeah, I was just about to say, so you guys do a lot. You kind of answered my initial question. So you guys are still focused on housing people with disabilities, not just an affordable place to live, but specifically people with disabilities.
We have that focus. It's not the only population we serve. We have people living in our apartments who are working families and just can't afford market rate rent. We have people with disabilities. We have families that experienced homelessness due to economic challenges. So it really runs the gamut, but we will always have a special focus and intent on making sure we help persons with disabilities and people who are homeless exit homelessness forever.
Oh my gosh, that's beautiful. You're not just kind of a Band-Aid to fix it, but you are there to be a bridge to the solution.
Honestly, housing is the solution. If we all step back and think about everything we do at home, it's where we raise our kids, where they do their homework and have dinner, and we recuperate when we're sick, and it's where we keep all our stuff. And if you don't have any of that, if you're doing all of that on the street or in a campground, you just cannot have the opportunities and live up to your full potential. So if we can make sure all of our neighbors have a place to live, the whole community will be so much better off. But Jacksonville, just like many other communities in Florida and our country, has a real shortage of affordable housing. There are just not enough units that are affordable to people earning minimum wage and even a little bit above minimum wage. And so that's why Ability Housing exists. We try to create the housing that the market can't or won't produce.
So, Shannon, is this... It's not a halfway house, but can people live with Ability Housing long term, or is it just until they quote unquote get on your feet? But you're also saying, like, we're never really on our feet if you're only making minimum wage and you have a family to support.
Correct. We're housing just like anybody else lives in. It's an apartment. We have people come in off the street all the time asking if we have anything available so they can move in. And just like any apartment you might rent, as long as you're compliant with your lease, pay your rent, don't trash the place, you can renew your lease. But we do have services, and we work with other nonprofits to provide services to all of our residents so that they are continuing to increase their self-sufficiency and ability to earn income and move up in their job and career path if possible. So typically, we help families be able to move on and afford something else. But some of the people living in our housing, they have a disability. They're never going to earn more. They're always going to need this level of affordability. And some of them were homeless for years, 5, 10, even more years. And they have a lot of barriers, and they need supports. And because we also provide very intense wraparound supports to people who have been chronically homeless, you know, those individuals, some won't need us for more than a few years. They will stabilize and be able to move on. Some have barriers that we're going to need to help them for a very long time, and that's completely okay. That's why we're here.
Well, and Shannon, you mentioned that you guys are recognized throughout the country, but are y'all throughout the state of Florida?
We're known throughout the state of Florida, but we're not building all over. We are focused right now on Northeast and Central Florida, but we have been asked by the Tampa Bay region to do some housing, and we're actually helping a nonprofit over there with a few projects, and have been asked by the county and the city to come and help them. And then also Southwest Florida. We've been asked by community members and the Community Foundation down there to come down and help them figure out how to do more affordable housing. So we're being asked everywhere, and we're saying no a lot because we have limited capacity and don't want to overextend ourselves. But we're also really trying to figure out how we can increase our capacity so we can do more and say yes more often.
Well, Shannon, here in Jacksonville, do you have any open rooms or leases that are going to end?
No.
And you know those people? So how do you still help people that come and ask for help when you don't have a room available? Are there services you still provide?
So, you know, obviously supply does not meet demand, and we're always striving to build more housing. We either acquire existing housing in the community or build it ourselves. And, you know, so that's our goal, is to build more housing here in Jacksonville. We're based here in Jacksonville. This is our home. We always want to be serving Jacksonville to the greatest extent possible. But unfortunately, we have to say no a lot, and we have wait lists, and, you know, we work with the homeless continuum of care, so that when we have an opening for a unit that is targeted to somebody exiting homelessness, we can contact the coordinated entry system, and they can refer the individual or family that is most at risk in our community, who literally will die fastest if we don't get them off the street, so we can get them into the housing as quickly as possible. And through that, we know that our limited resource is going to the person who's identified as the most in need of that resource. We wish we could say yes to everybody, but unfortunately, we have to triage and serve those most in need first. And then if we're able to build more housing, we can go further and further down the line and help more and more people. It's really hard to say no.
Mm-hmm. But when you do say yes, you know you're really, the people you're saying yes to are stewarding, and that's a blessing just to begin with.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just watching a mom move her kids into an apartment when they've been in such crisis is, you know, it fills you up. You just know all the hard work was worth it. Or a veteran who was on our streets for 12 years and very sick and needing a lot of help. And now he has a place. He can store his few belongings and start to rebuild his life. It's remarkable. And, you know, I will honestly say, we move people in, and I can't tell you who a year, 18 months from now is going to say, hey, you know, I'm ready to move on. Is it okay if I break my lease? You know, and we are always very open to that, you know, and who's going to need really deep-end supports for a very long time because they have a lot of challenges and a lot of medical conditions. You can never tell looking at somebody when they move in what their trajectory is going to be. And watching people flourish is just the most remarkable thing.
Again, I have the privilege of speaking with our neighbor, Shannon Nasworth, the CEO of Ability Housing. And Shannon, you mentioned that when you see a family move out that's kind of overcome these obstacles, it's worth all of the hard work. Well, I know Ability Housing just received an award for all of their hard work. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, and we are very honored. The Nonprofit Center selected us for one of the Local Focus Lasting Impact Awards, and it is for the work we've done helping people exit homelessness and creating real lasting solutions for our community. It was quite a surprise to me that we got the award, not because my team doesn't deserve it, but there are so many good organizations out there doing so many wonderful things. But it is nice for my team to get the recognition for all the hard work that they've done. None of them does it for the recognition, but it still is really nice to be able to, you know, for them to know that people realize how hard they work and the impact they're having.
What was kind of the aha moment where when you guys received that award? Like, did the organization say, oh, I love how you guys overcame this obstacle or how you offered this? What made you guys stand apart?
Well, you know, obviously I can't say what their selection process was, but I do believe it's because last year, at the end of the year, we opened a brand new property here in Jacksonville in Hyde Park called Village at Hyde Park. It's a beautiful 80-unit apartment community. Half of the units are targeted to serving the homeless, and we've been really working the community to focus on trying to end veteran homelessness. So we have quite a few formerly homeless vets living there. And so I think it's probably a combination of being able to secure the wide array of resources needed to develop it, and then working in partnership with the other nonprofits, the VA, the city, to really create something that will be lasting for the individuals living there and a real plus for the neighborhood and the community at large.
I love that, because earlier in the interview, you never mentioned that. So there's so much that you do, even too much to talk about.
There really is a lot. And then, you know, we're lucky that we work within an ecosystem of really strong nonprofits and people who want to work together to take each of our strengths and use it for the benefit of the people we serve in our community. And we're really blessed. You know, we sit with others and really try to strategize how can we take our strength and use our skill sets so that we're helping create systemic solutions and long-lasting solutions for our community. And, you know, a report came out recently. Jacksonville has really done a good job on homelessness. We've had great reductions. We're far beating the national norm. The only area that we're not doing well, in fact, we're in reverse order of the national, is our rate of unsheltered homeless individuals is going up. And we just learned that, you know, through this report that a group of funders here in the community had commissioned. And so now we can meet with, you know, the other nonprofits, the city, the funders, all the stakeholders, and try to work collectively. How do we help reduce the number of people who are unsheltered, can't even get into one of our emergency shelters? We've got to do something about that. The ultimate solution to that is a place to live. As one of the shelters said, I can't let anyone out. I can't let anyone in because I can't get anyone out. Mm. There's nowhere for them to live. We've got to create a place for people to live. And because of that bottleneck in our system, that's why our rate of unsheltered homelessness is going up. So we are really looking forward to working with the community to really focus on how do we make this possible. Jacksonville is a very compassionate community, and when we set our mind to something, we really can achieve it. So we're eager to be part of that solution here in Jacksonville.
Shannon, that response pairs really well with my question on how do you plan on addressing homelessness long term? Is it that just having more places that are available?
That is the ultimate solution. In fact, that's what the report said. First and foremost, if you're going to do something to reduce homelessness, you need more affordable housing units. Only 8% of the housing stock here in Jacksonville rents for less than $1,000 a month.
Oh, my gosh.
So there are a lot of, yes, that I did not realize it was 8%. I knew we needed more affordable housing.
Yeah.
But the report that was just issued said 8% of our apartments rent for less than $1,000. That was very surprising to me. And so, you know, we obviously need to redouble our efforts and work to create more housing. And, you know, the barrier is finances. It mm-hmm. takes money to build housing. And when people can't afford market rents, you need to make sure that it's, you know, has the operating assistance it needs so that you can maintain it to high quality. But if we work together collectively, we can figure out how to layer in resources, braid all, leverage each other's assets, and create more housing. That's the ultimate thing we need to do. That was the number one recommendation in the report.
Shannon, how can your neighbors, us, help you meet that ultimate goal?
Well, I welcome anyone to come to our website and learn more about us, abilityhousing.org. reach out to either Ability Housing or other nonprofits in this sector and offer to help us. Help us figure out how we're going to create these solutions. Be part of the conversation. Homelessness is not a nonprofit issue. Homelessness is an everyone issue. It is the ultimate indication of system failure. You know, it's not, people don't wake up one day and decide to become homeless. Things have gone wrong and systems have failed them to help them avoid homelessness. And together, we can create a society where that is not the outcome. The number one driver of it is housing prices have far exceeded wages. Harvard did a study, I want to say, between 1960 and 2000 or something like that. Like, housing prices went up 60-something percent, and renter wages went up 5%.
That is, like, so it's humorous. That's ridiculous.
Right. That is not something people can control. They get the wages they get. They have, you know, we need people doing these jobs. If we don't have, you know, all the people who do the what are now called essential services that we've all come to realize how much we rely on them in our recent crisis, you know, those individuals, many of them don't make good wages. And they can't afford $1,000 a month for an apartment. We've got to create housing that everybody can afford. And so the way people can help is help us advocate for the changes that will make that possible here locally and also at the state level and even with federal. You know, we need everybody working together. Get their church involved. Get their, you know, their faith, their place of faith involved in this conversation. Realize that there is something that they can do that can help their fellow neighbor. And right now especially, you know, we've got a very unique crisis going on in our society across the world. You know, just make sure your neighbor's okay. You know, reach out to them. Make sure they're not in crisis. People are amazed when they realize that one of the kids in their child's class was homeless. You know, they don't look any different. They don't act any different. They're just kids. And for whatever reason, one day they realized that the kid who came over and played for the last couple of weekends was actually homeless. And, you know, it's shocking. It's really shocking to realize we're all touched by this, and we all have to be part of the solution.
Shannon, you briefly touched on it, just about the global crisis we are all in, not just our neighbor, but us individually as well. And I wanted to ask, how have you been able to support your residents through this pandemic? It's already hard enough to get by, and then you cut a salary altogether. Now what?
Exactly. And the people we serve are among those most affected, because many of the jobs they have were the companies that would be shut down during the closures and now are not fully reopening. And so for us, you know, we reached out to our residents and on a case-by-case basis just figured out solutions. We were very lucky. We got a grant through United Way to have some resources available for emergency assistance. And for others, you know, we were able to work out plans where, you know, over time they can get caught up or, you know, whatever each individual situation was, we handled it that way. You know, that's our mission. That's our job. We want to keep everybody in their housing. We can't afford to go without rent forever. We, you know, we have to pay for insurance and electricity just like everybody else. But, you know, we have, because of the community support, we had the ability to have resources to offer assistance and just, you know, meet each person where they were at, know that they wanted to be out of this crisis and situation more than we did, and help them find solutions and work with them through that. And that's all that we can do. And, you know, that's really all of us can do.
As the country is, and I mean more so specifically Florida, as we've been going from phase one to phase two to eventually phase three, have you seen an increase on a lot of your residents going back to work, or is it still how it was even just a couple months ago?
We haven't seen a huge uptick yet. I think, you know, as businesses go back to 50%, they're not bringing everybody back. And so, you know, and some of our residents, they don't have childcare now. So what are they going to do with their child? They can't go back. The dynamics are just, you know, it's unprecedented, literally unprecedented for all of us, the decisions, you know, we're trying to navigate. And so we're hopeful, you know, as things continue to progress and we all collectively realize, oh, we need more child care so people can go back and we need this or that. And businesses go from 50% to, you know, more opening when it's appropriate to do that. You know, more people will be able to go back to work. And hopefully all the businesses that were vibrant before will be able to reopen and be just as vibrant. And this won't be a long-term catastrophic impact on employment in our community. But, you know, the longer things are shut down, the harder that's going to be. So we're hopeful, and we're working with our residents, and they're all working really hard to either get back to work where they were before or find something else. And we just support them in those efforts.
And I love how you said you're working hard and they're working hard. You're not offering a handout in any way, but you're meeting them where they're at.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, no one wants to be in this situation, and no one caused this situation. And so we just have to bring the resources we have to bear and our skills to the table and meet them where they're at and help them figure out what their solution is and then help them develop the plan to create that solution for themselves.
Hmm. Well, Shannon, as we... I mean, school seems so far away, but it'll be here in no time. What are some things we can look out for if our child brings a friend over? What are some signs of maybe this child is in need of some other kind of service? Maybe their family isn't financially stable. What are things to keep an eye out?
So among the things that, you know, one, you can never know, and you don't want to obviously ask a child. You know, the worst thing you can do is get really prying because they want to protect their family, and we all get embarrassed even if it's not our fault.
Yeah.
But realize, you know, what are their eating habits? You know, do they seem to need to eat more? That's indicating that they're hungry and, you know, are food insecure at home. Are they wearing the same thing, you know, and is it dirty? You know, is it not just dirty because of today's play activity, but because they don't have a place to wash their clothes and maybe they've worn the same thing 3 days in 1 week? And, you know, just those kind of indicators that maybe they're not homeless, maybe they're in crisis and are about to become homeless, and maybe they are actually homeless. And, you know, every school, the Duval County has homeless liaisons within their schools. And so you can, if you are concerned about somebody, you can reach out to the school and just say, I don't know, but Joe, you know, Smith may have a problem. And I just wanted to let you know, I thought maybe, you know, if the somebody there who's trained on how to do this could reach out to them, maybe they can help that family. And they're trained on how to ask questions without prying and help people link with resources. And so we're really blessed that the schools have those resources and partner with the nonprofits and others in the community. So that's what I would recommend.
No, those are great things. And Shannon, at the beginning of the chat, I asked, do you have any available rooms or units? And you said no. But are we still able to recommend you to some people?
Well, you can always recommend us. We may have availability, but I will say that probably the best resource is the community resource of 211. The United Way administers it. If somebody has a problem, whether it's housing or other related, if they call 211, 211 can talk with them, assess, and refer them to the appropriate solution. So that is what I would recommend for any issue that somebody's facing.
That's super good to know. Well, Shannon, once again, just tell me how we can get a hold of Ability Housing, or if we want to get involved, whether it's financially or just physical, manual labor, support in any way, how can we get a hold of y'all?
Absolutely. So the website, abilityhousing.org, you can email us at info@abilityhousing.org. Or call the office, 904-359-9650. We look forward to hearing from everyone.
Shannon, thank you so much for being such a great neighbor in our neighborhood.
Thank you so much. Really enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, at Jacksonville.radio.
Has your job been deemed non-essential? We can help. For 25 years, Tools for a Time has helped people enjoy flexibility, freedom, and financial independence with our turnkey business packages powered by Exmark, the most trusted name in commercial mowers. Take advantage of our huge inventory and the lowest prices of the year. Start your own essential service and lawn care today with interest-free financing and no payments for 120 days with approved credit. Take control of your future with Exmark and Tools for a Time online at toolsforatime.com.
Fall means cookies baking in your oven, a fresh outfit tumbling in your dryer, and afternoon snacks in your fridge. Get the appliances you want with the Home Depot and save up to 40% on select appliances. Get an LG stainless steel kitchen package and save almost $2,000. And get select new appliances delivered free. Make the most of fall with the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Free delivery on purchases $396 or more. Gas range extra valid through September 16th, continental U.S. only.
Don't you love that feeling when you've just nailed your look? That's how it feels to use Stitch Fix, your personal styling service that delivers hand-picked clothes right to you. Stitch Fix is simple and convenient. Sign up in just a few minutes, and you can try out new styles right at home. And there's no subscription required, ever. So, isn't it time you started nailing your look? Get started today at stitchfix.com. Stitch Fix, personal styling for everybody.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to our North Florida neighborhood.
And welcome to North Florida Neighborhood. I'm Colby, and North Florida Neighborhood is all about just getting to know our neighbors, seeing and hearing what all they're doing with us and for us in the community. And today, the neighbor that we get to know is Barbara Linton, the founder of Courage Through Cancer Ministries. Barbara, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Colby, for the invitation. It's a blessing to be here with you and all the listeners today.
Of course. Now, Barbara, what is Courage Through Cancer Ministries?
We are a nonprofit Christian cancer support organization. We offer practical and spiritual support to those who have actually been going through a cancer journey, or maybe they've been impacted as a caregiver or a family member. And we're here just to offer that to support to them in His name.
So, Barbara, you said you offer practical and spiritual support. What does that look
Absolutely.
Like?
Absolutely. Well, having gone through a cancer journey myself several years ago, my eyes were actually open to the world of cancer and what that looks like and how that impacts your life. And God absolutely transformed my life through the valley of cancer and put a vision and a burden on my heart for a Christian cancer support organization. And so just as Jesus did when he even offered a cup of cold water to someone, he prayed with people, he ministered to people, he cared about their physical needs as well as their spiritual needs. That's what we do here at Courage Through Cancer Ministries. And that's what really helps to distinguish us from many of the other support organizations that may be out there. Others are doing a wonderful work as well, but God's called us to a different purpose. And so we have some of the practical support items that we have, like the very soft knit hats. They're all made by our volunteers, and they're all made by hand, and they're in a variety of colors for the men and the women, and they're washed and packaged and ready for distribution. And a couple of years ago, we actually gave out 900 hats 1 year. That's how great the need is, and there's even a greater need than that. And that helps to fill a need in the lives of those that may be going through chemotherapy treatments. You know, the Lord says in the scripture, when you see someone that's naked, you cover them. And I can say from personal experience, from as a lady's standpoint, going through a cancer journey and chemotherapy treatments, when you lose your hair, that first look in the mirror, that first glance, you know, you just feel naked. I mean, you just do. And so, and it's when we give this hat, it not only provides comfort and warmth, but it shows that we care and that we love them. And they realize that we understand what they're going through. It bridges a gap there and establishes an immediate connection with them. If we have the opportunity to go into an oncology area, and one of the first things that people see is maybe a basket of bright colored hats that we're carrying. Well, it catches their eye, it catches their attention, because they're sitting there and they have no hair, you know. And so that then gives us the opportunity to minister from a practical standpoint, and then be able to offer the spiritual support to them as well. We offer then a cancer care bag, you know, that has a copy of my story in there. You know, it has other spiritual support items. It has that ministry information. We may offer them one of our Fear Not blankets and things like that for practical support. We also meet with people one-on-one. We talk to people on the phone. We have a cancer care line that they can call. It doesn't matter where they live in the U.S. They can call us anytime. If they're discouraged, if they're lonely, they're overwhelmed. You know, we had a lady that called this weekend just ready to give up, you know, because the journey's just so hard. The journey is real, and it's hard, even if you're a Christian. We minister to Christians and non-Christians alike. And so that's what we're here for, you know, just to encourage them. Meet with them, minister to them in his name.
Wow, Barbara, you've said so much, and I want to hit on it all. I kind of want to just unpack all of it because it was so much substance, and that's on me because I definitely asked you a very broad question. I first, just to set the stage, you said you went through your own cancer journey, and that's where the Lord kind of put this ministry in your heart. One of my questions is, what kind of support did you wish you had while you went through that journey, and how are you and Courage Through Cancer Ministries now offering that?
Well, I went through a cancer journey myself at the age of 46. That was back in 2008. God absolutely transformed my life through that. I was a very private person. I was not even going to share with anyone that I had cancer. That my plan was, you know, I was going to have some surgery. I was going to recover, go back to work, and not tell anyone the nature of that.
Oh my gosh.
I was just going to keep all that private, just my husband and I. We were going to deal with it. And but God had another plan, and God had a much bigger plan, and a much bigger plan than me. And I'm so grateful that he did. And I'm so grateful that God chooses to use us and work through us, even through the valley of cancer. As I was thrown into that, into the oncology offices, the chemo rooms, the infusion areas, you know, you go through radiation every day. You go through surgery. It changes your body. It changes your life. You know, you have scars that you didn't have before. All of those things, God was not only working on me physically, when he provided great medical care for me. I have great family support, great church support, but I needed my God. That's what I needed most. I needed my God. And he had been a part of my life, all of my life. And I know when people get in a situation like this, there's a tendency either they're drawn closer to Christ or they actually turn their back on him and walk away because of anger, because of what they're experiencing. And for me, it was just natural. You know, I wanted to get closer to Christ, and I needed him in my life. I needed God to get through this because it was more than what I could handle. You know, I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to go through this. And it certainly was absolutely overwhelming. But God was faithful. Oh, Colby, God was so faithful to me. God was so real to me as I delved into the scriptures. You know, the words would just jump off the page and became life to me. And God began transforming me into a new vessel and opening my eyes to the need around me and to the world of a sea of cancer. And burden my heart for those precious people. And so I believe that God placed on the heart the need to form the nonprofit, which we did, and gave us the name for it, which is Courage Through Cancer Ministries, which is absolutely perfect. It's courage all the way through, from beginning to end. And that courage can only come from God and from His promises to us. You know, when I was at my lowest point going through the chemo, and just so weak physically, you know, God's word, His promises, did not change. When everything else was changing around me, I didn't know what the next phone call would bring, what the next doctor's report would say. God's promises to us did not change. I could hold on to that. It was like an anchor for my soul, you know. And He was my rock. He was my foundation. And God brought me through that and has given me a new voice, a new passion, a new ministry. He's called me to serve a new group of people, and it's people with cancer.
So, Barbara, you kind of mentioned how you were able to seek courage and strength just not only from your church, but your husband and those around you. Do you feel like that's the opportunity that you're now giving cancer patients with the Courage Through Cancer Ministries?
Well, yes. There are actually many people, Colby, that we've met out there that have no support at all. They're absolutely alone going through a cancer journey, and I really can't imagine that. They absolutely have the weight of the world on their shoulders, and so that is why we're here. We want them to know they're not alone. And even when we cannot be with them, we want them to know that God is with them and that He will walk with them through this journey. And so that's in this ministry, we always are pointing people to God, because He's the one ultimately that can give them the courage and the strength, the peace, the comfort, His presence, you know, and His promises that will never fail them. God is faithful to us, and God proved that to me over and over and over again during my cancer journey, and I've seen Him do it in other people's lives as well, as they just grab a hold of Him, trusting Him, and He walks them through this time together. And so the ministry is here to come alongside of them and offer them support. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. Through a cancer ministry, but ultimately we are pointing them to Christ for the strength that they really ultimately need.
Well, again, I have the privilege of talking with Barbara Linton, the founder of Courage Through Cancer Ministries. And Barbara, you kind of mentioned your walk through cancer and just how during that the Lord put this ministry on your heart. Now, are you in the ministry actually able to go into the hospital and visit the patients?
Well, because of COVID, things have changed, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that time, yes, we were able to go into various places where the open doors are for us. We know what the limitations are in some areas, but other places we have open door opportunities. Most people, medical places are open to the support that we offer because they see the benefit of it. And so we're so grateful for that. And yes, we have traveled over to the Jacksonville area. We've traveled down to Shands and Moffitt, and we go to Georgia and in different places. We just travel to as many places as we can and minister to people wherever the hurting people are that are battling cancer. If they're close enough to us, we're based in Tallahassee, so if they're close enough to us, we'd love to be able to do that one-on-one personal support with them.
How often do you usually... Oh, I guess we kind of have to change it up since before COVID, how often were you able to go to the hospitals and even like travel to South Georgia and even Jacksonville?
Well, God's placed an open door before us. And so as He leads us to go, or we have an invitation to go, or we know there's an opportunity to go, or we feel like He's leading us in a certain direction, then we go. Here locally, we're in the local oncology offices every week.
Oh, wow. Now has it just kind of become custom, like the patients are looking forward to see you and they know that you're coming?
Absolutely. We build connections with them, relationships with them. You get to know their name. You know, again, not every place is open, and we certainly understand that because of HIPAA and things like that. But those that are open to us, we have the opportunity to minister as we're allowed to do so. Of course, with COVID now, you know, we have masks and those kinds of things. Some places are still we're not able to go into because of the COVID and things, and we understand that, but we're still able to do the ministry through the phone and through the website. We can meet with people individually as they would like us to do so, and we take advantage of those opportunities to minister wherever he opens the door.
That's so cool how you said, yeah, they're used to seeing you now, but you're used to seeing them also. Like, you've grown to become friends with them, and you even know their names and in their story. You're not just another ministry that's kind of bebopping in and out.
No, that's exactly what we do, is we build relationships with the people if they would like for us to. Some may be just a one-time encounter. You know, they may live in California and contact us through the website. Find us on the web and contact us and request a cancer care package for support. It may be just a one-time encounter like that. However, if they would like additional support and a follow-up call, or to check on them to see how they're doing, we may send cards of encouragement and things like that. And pray for them, of course, and whatever their needs may be. They can send in their prayer needs to us through the website or call the toll-free number, and we will absolutely pray for them.
Barbara, you said some people will reach out and request a cancer care package. Now, if I have a friend in the hospital, could I request one for them? What does that process look like?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, there's two ways that you can do that. Either by calling our toll-free number, which is 1-855-6-COURAGE. That's our toll-free number. Or they can go to our website, which is couragethroughcancer.com. And on the website in particular, there is, under the support tab, you can request a cancer care package. And there's two options there. You can either request it for yourself if you're personally going through a cancer journey, or you can request it for someone else, and maybe a friend or a loved one, and request that for them. And, you know, and then we will get the package out to them, which includes everything, includes a copy of my story that's been published, which is called Living with Cancer. And it's very relational for the people and inspirational for them. And because we're walking in the same shoes. And so we want to make sure we get that out to them. It's filled with scripture that God gave me during my journey with cancer that helped me through the different stages that I went through with cancer. And God has just used it to help so many people. So we want to get that out to them. Everything we provide is free of charge. We don't charge for anything. And so it is here. It's a gift from our ministry. They simply just need to request it. And so it doesn't matter where they live. We sent some internationally as well. And we're happy to get those out to the people that need them, to be of support to them. So they can do it either way, either by phone or the website.
Barbara, y'all do so much. And whether it's from the hats or the care packages or just gas money going to different hospitals, how is the ministry able to do all of this for free?
Well, the Lord has always met our needs through what we call our ministry partners. And anyone that chooses to partner with us in whatever way it may be, as a volunteer, actually making hats or making the blankets, packaging support materials, serving in the office, whatever avenue they are able to partner with us, we greatly appreciate that. Specifically, on the financial side, we receive no government support. So everything, all the donations that come in are from our ministry partners, whether those be businesses, individuals, churches, just someone's heart that God has touched, that's heard about the ministry, and they want to help someone else. Well, you know, I was able this morning to give support to someone this morning that I met, and then in return, they said, well, how can I pay for this or whatever? Mm-hmm. I said, no, it's a gift from our ministry to you, but if you choose to make a donation, you're welcome to go to our website and do that, you know, or they could mail a donation to us as well.
Well, Barbara, what does it look like for the community to have your back? Like, if we're interested in knitting blankets or donating to you or being a part of your prayer team, how can we just get behind you and lift you up in that?
Absolutely. Also, they can go to our website. There's a tab on there where they can volunteer, and it's a partner tab where they can partner with us, and it gives a variety of ways. There's items they can donate. If they want to donate the yarn that we use to make the hats, there's a particular kind we use that's listed on the website. You know, it's very inexpensive, like $2 or $2.50 for a skein, you know, so it's very inexpensive, and you can buy it at Walmart. So there's ways they can do that. They can donate the fleece that we use to make the blankets. Again, that's online. those kinds of items. They can volunteer to be a prayer partner. They can volunteer, you know, they can do a donation. You know, there's just a variety of ways on there, and all those are listed on our website.
And Barbara, can you tell me the website one more time?
Courage Through Cancer, and through is spelled T-H-R-O-U-G-H. So couragethroughcancer.com.
And one thing, Barbara, I think oftentimes, especially with young children that have been diagnosed with cancer, the parents are tapped out. Like, they are so exhausted. Does Courage Through Cancer Ministries have an opportunity to uplift the families that have been just exhausted through support?
Absolutely. Mom or dad can give us a call. Absolutely. We minister probably to more women than men, but we do minister to both. We also have hats for the children as well, and we can put a package together for the child or for the family as well. We've been over there to Nemours over there in Jacksonville and had the opportunity to leave some of our cancer care bags over there for the patients. And it's just been a privilege. And so, yes, if there's a child, a teenager, it doesn't matter what the age, we're here to be a support to them or their family.
Okay, so whether it's a child or the family member, that's what this ministry is for, everyone who
Absolutely.
Is in some way in touch with the cancer realm.
Yes, if they've been personally touched by cancer. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean personally in their own body have the cancer, but as we all know, the caregivers, the family, it could be a friend, it could be a loved one. There, when someone is diagnosed with cancer, it doesn't just impact the person with the cancer. All of those that are in their circle are also impacted. And so, and especially if someone loses someone to a cancer journey, we also have grief materials available. So, and God has used those to help so many people. Again, they're free, but they're available to people if they just simply request them. And we minister to a lot of people through grief as well. So those are also a way that we minister to.
Barbara, I love this, and I love that the Lord was so specific when he put this on your heart. And there are so many different cancer organizations out there. What sets Courage Through Cancer Ministries apart from the other ones? They're all special, but what sets y'all apart?
Because we're a Christian-based cancer support organization. Many of the ones out there may raise support for research, which is absolutely needed. We need a cure for cancer. We pray for cures for all the different types of cancer. Absolutely. And they're doing a tremendous work. But God has called us to actually minister to the people that actually have the cancer and those in their circles that have been impacted by it, and from a spiritual standpoint. And so everything we do is based on scripture. And we try to minister to people like he would. We're working on some things that are called ministering to your neighbor. I think it's loving your neighbor with cancer. You know, well, who's our neighbor? Everyone's our neighbor. If God puts us in connection with someone, it's our neighbor. It may not be just the person that lives next door to us, but if we go somewhere and God connects us with someone, that person becomes our neighbor. If they have a need and it's something that we can minister to in his name, we want to do that. And so that's what sets us apart is because this is God's ministry. It's not my ministry or anyone else's ministry. It's God's ministry. And it is a ministry that he has raised up, that he is leading, and he is using to absolutely transform lives. And I see it every single day. And it's just a privilege because we're not just getting him through a cancer journey, okay? We are ministering to them in his name so that their relationship with him is stronger, their faith and trust in him is stronger. If they've never had a personal experience with Jesus Christ and never even accepted him into his life, don't even know what that looks like, don't even know if God is real, you know, and why would this happen to me? We are here to let them know God is real and God loves you and he cares for you. And it's a privilege to do that. It is a privilege just to see people get it, that God is real, and to grab a hold of that and grow. We have a monthly support group that we have, and I don't call it a support group. It's called a Fear Not Fellowship.
I love that.
Because our verse that we use is from Joshua 1:9, and it says, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage,
Do not be afraid.
For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." And I share that with so many people. And that is what we use, is to fear not in there. We ourselves, in our own human natures, we're going to fear. the world with all the chaos and everything that's going on and all the trials and tribulations that we encounter in life, fear naturally creeps in and is a part of our lives. But God is saying, we have the ability to fear not. Why? Because he is with us. Can we do it on our own? No. But with him by our side, we absolutely can, and that's what we share with people. And when they get grab a hold of it and they get a hold of God, and he starts working in their lives and their faith starts blossoming and growing and they get it, you know, it's just beautiful to see it unfold, to see the work of God in their lives, not only physically through the cancer and people getting great reports. Not everyone does, you know, and when God sometimes calls them home, we're there to walk with them. We're there beside their bedside. We're holding their hand. We're ministering to them in his name, just like he would do, you know, and we help them with that transition from this life into the next, from the loving arms of their families, you know, into his loving arms. That's what we're here for all the way through, courage through cancer, all the way through.
Barbara, what an incredible opportunity to truly have boots on the ground where
yes.
lives are being changed and souls
yes.
are being transformed. And
yes.
Barbara, just one more time, please tell us how we can get a hold of you and the Courage Through Cancer Ministries if we're in need or if we want to serve or if we just want to know more.
Absolutely. They are welcome to call our cancer care line. It's toll-free, 1-855-626-8724, or it's 1-855-6-COURAGE. And then the website is couragethroughcancer.com.
Barbara, thank you so much for being such a great neighborhood, not only in the neighborhood of Tallahassee, but throughout Jacksonville and even Georgia. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Colby.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, @jacksonville.radio.